Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, baby. Another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. We are in the middle or towards the end of wrestling season. We are reaching the peak. And you know this podcast has always been a big supporter of what they do down on the mats in Blacksburg and Castle, or once a year in Moss, which is still an amazing thing to do. It's well worth the money. If you listen to this, you should definitely attend the Moss Arts Center wrestling match next year. But today I have the man, probably the most visible wrestling person from Virginia Tech that you will see on Twitter. He always shows up the bat signal when somebody amazing is coming through to spend the next 4 to 5 to 6 years with the Virginia Tech Hokies in the Southeast, you know, Regional Training Center. He was an Olympian. He is a two-time All-American, runner-up national champion at 149. His name is Jared Freyer, and he's on the podcast. How you doing, my man?
No, man, I'm great. I appreciate you having me on, Daniel.
No, dude, absolutely, man. For the people that don't know, where are you from? Like, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Clearwater, Florida. You know, not a huge wrestling state, but yeah, my dad was a coach. He's from the Midwest. He actually wrestled at Ball State. They don't have a program anymore, but he's an Indianapolis guy. My mom as well, and they moved to Miami right out of college, and we kind of worked our way up to Tampa, and so that's where I grew up and did all my scholastic wrestling, and I was able to have some pretty good success in high school, and you know, I had to travel the country just because there wasn't a whole lot of you know, eyes on the state of Florida as far as recruiting and that type of stuff. So made my way to the University of Oklahoma for my college years. So that's kind of what, you know, I've been everywhere else since then, but yeah, that's kind of the trajectory. As a young kid, I was a Florida boy.
Clearwater. I know it well, actually. My mom lives in Dunedin. She moved there like 3 years ago.
There you go.
So when I fly into Tampa to see her, we got to go through Clearwater. And
no,
like,
doubt.
It's kind of like the way I describe it, sort of in Northern Virginia, like I lived in Ashburn, but then there's like Sterling and Leesburg and all these, but it's like different towns, but they kind of run together sort of. And I feel like that's the way all those towns outside of Tampa kind of do it. They all, next thing you know, you're in one or the other. But
Tampa Bay, St. Pete is like, you know, that Tampa Bay area is like Nova. It's just, it's enormous with a bunch of little towns all kind of spread apart. You know, my parents live in Tarpon Springs now. So just north of Dunedin. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
My godmother lives in Tarpon Springs. She's like super, super Greek. So every time it's like massive Greek presence there.
Ah, baby, all the good stuff.
Yeah, I always try to make sure I make a stop at one of the bakeries or get some Greek coffee fresh off the stove. Like,
no doubt.
Yeah, I like Tarpon, man. It's a good time. Three time state champ.
Yeah, man, it was, you know, it was, like I said, Florida isn't known for its wrestling, and I started at a young age and had a great, my father was my, kind of my mentor and coached me all the way up, and, you know, so I had a kind of a head start, and I was able to you know, have some fun in high school, and then win a lot of wrestling matches, and, you know, allowed me to get enough of a platform to give myself some national looks, and you know, like I said, I made my way out to the Midwest, Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, Clearwater to Norman, definitely a lot different.
Culture shock, no doubt. So, but I was born in Miami, so I was a big, you know, I've been a college football. College football is like life, man. I love football. And so I followed, you know, the Sooners, you know, through their glory days back in the 80s. And, you know, obviously the U rivalries and all that good stuff. So I had known that the Sooners and Switzer and all those guys. So it, you know, it actually came down to Oklahoma and Penn State because I was a big Joe Paterno fan. You know, that was just football. That's all I knew. And, but to go out there and see the wrestling side of it and kind of their, their long-standing history of great wrestling. Fell in love with the place, and Norman's a special place in both my wife and I's hearts because she was a gymnast there.
Okay, so you met her while at Oklahoma.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we actually met. We met the first day of school, and didn't date for a decade. 10 years later, I moved out to Colorado Springs. It's a long story. It's a fun story, but anyhow, she's from Colorado Springs and moved back to Colorado Springs, and we kind of reconnected a decade later after meeting for the first time.
Destiny, man.
Yep. Sure.
Well, either way, Oklahoma, Penn State, like great football programs, but also wrestling is great there as well, as yep. We see with Penn State now. But
they weren't that back then.
Yeah. No, they were not.
No, they were not.
But now, oh, wow.
They're rolling. They got a good thing going. So something for us to always strive for.
Yeah, I think it was the same. Was it the night we wrestled UVA? I can't remember, but they wrestled Iowa, who was number two, and they beat them like 30-8. And I was like, if this is the drop off between one and two, that's just insane.
It is. But, it really is. Yeah, it was. We were just talking about it the other night. We're like, we were talking today actually in the office. There's this whole ACC, the viewer ratings, and Roby was like, well, they're going to take wrestling into account, just kind of joking around, and because obviously that NC State match was pretty awesome, and we were like, when was that Iowa Penn State match? Because nobody watched anything but that match. So, but we figured out it was the Pitt match or the UVA match. So
that NC State crowd was insane. It was awesome to be there. Like Castle was like, you couldn't have packed it much more than what it was. Like it was pretty to the gills, and it was intense. It was loud, which is good because that's it always feels like us and them are like the best, like competing for the ACC championship, at least the last, however many years. So it's intense. Yeah.
Because our fans are, just like the basket, the women's and the men's basketball. I feel like the fans were built in same thing through the Beamer era. The fans, we didn't just show up, and that's what they were. It was built over years and years and decades and decades, and they're passionate fans, they're knowledgeable fans. Just as much as the men's and women's basketball and football crowds, our fans are, they are wrestling fanatics, and they get into it. They're knowledgeable, and just to have that rivalry going with NC State pretty much every year, it's for the title. It was pretty cool to have it the last match of the year, and for us to come out victorious was even better.
Yeah, and then you notice like not only are like coaches from high schools like bringing their squads to come watch, but like alumni that you recognize that wrestled at Tech are like sneaking into the stands to like watch, and it's cool to just see everybody come back.
100%. There's some genuine good fans, and like I said, fanatics that since Dresser started that got this thing really pumping a decade ago, with Roby's help, and then for Roby to continue to build this thing the way he has in the last 8 years, it's been pretty special, and those fans are extremely important to us and the success of our program, whether it's the Hokies or the SCRTC.
Yeah, and you not only competed in the Olympics, but like you won the Olympic trial to go to the Olympics at 66 kilograms, which I'm going to be honest, I don't know the conversion on that. I'll be honest. Do you
45 and a half pounds?
145 and a half?
Yep.
Okay. And then, all right. So, and you wrestled what, 149?
Right. So it was a couple pounds lighter, not a big deal, but it was, it was a fun run. I was old. I had a job. I had a family. Nobody else on the team had a family or a job. So it was fun to be kind of the elder statesman in 2012. I was 33, and, it was electric, man. It was something that, I'll never forget. And it was really one of the first times that in my career, ended up winning like the domestic tournament, the national tournament. I was always second or third for years and years and years. And, it was going to be my last tournament regardless. And, in the States, and to come out and win. I was the 5 seed, wrestled the number 1 seed in the finals, guy that had never lost, and Carver Hawkeye, which was, it was in Iowa City, kid wrestled at Iowa. I actually coached him at Iowa for a year. Superstar dude had never, like I said, he'd never lost in the arena, and to beat him twice, it was best 2 out of 3 in the final. And, it was, the place cleared out and got quiet real fast. It was surreal and something that I'll never forget.
Yeah. And then you're from Miami, you grow up in Clearwater, Florida's a melting pot. You go to Oklahoma, it's like Americana, and now you're wearing the red, white, and blue, saying like how representing the country in the Olympics. That must have been insane.
Insane, man. And the previous Olympics I'd gone, you know, like I said, I'm a sports fan through and through. I love, you know, I'll watch any sports that are on, and just to see people compete and be successful and strive for greatness. And, you know, regardless of what, you know, on the field or the court or the pitch or whatever, just to be around those type of athletes. I went as an alternate in 2008, and I was able to hit, you know, I was out there trading tickets and trying to get, I was watching Phelps win his first gold medal. I was able to go see Usain Bolt win his first gold medal. You know, I was trading tickets, like handball tickets, to get into the basketball. You know, wherever the Olympics is, it's wild and crazy. And so I wanted to see every single sport, because if I got another chance to go to this thing, I want to be able to focus on, you know, my craft and how I was going to get the job done. The opening ceremonies were obviously the like crescendo of everything, just being able to be around those elite athletes and able to get some cool pictures with LeBron and Kobe. And, you know, it's all just the superstar, the athletes all around the world. And that was like the biggest moment, was being able to know, you know, my whole life growing up watching that thing, watching the all the countries march out there and the billions of people watching at home. That was the neatest thing, was being a part of that and being a part of a, you know, like you said, the red, white, and blue, and representing my country.
I heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to ask you. You had a bet with Makai Lewis that if he won the national championship, you would wrestle in an Olympic qualifier. Is that true?
That is true. That is true. I was 40 at the moment. So I guess, you know, kind of, you know, it was only 7 years after I had wrestled, but it was still, it had been, you know, 7 years at 40 years old, wrestling a bunch of 20-year-olds. It was not, you know, it was something that, you know, I enjoyed the bet. I enjoyed doing it. I had some pretty good wins. But yeah, man, it's something that, you know, someone wants to make that bet. I didn't leave my shoes on the mat. So if I'm willing to wrestle one more time, I think, we actually may have had a bet the other night. So you could see me.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, I mean, wrestling coaches, I feel like, are unlike any other. Well, maybe basketball might get a little hands on. Like they might hop in and like run some scrimmages, but y'all are actually on the mat, like
we
wrestling
are.
These kids. So
yeah, we need to bring that up to Witt a little bit. Maybe find some way to get us some massage or something every, you know, once every two. I don't know. We're in the cold tubs as much as the boys. And yeah, you know, it's obviously not as much lately now that I'm 46 years old, but Caleb Pinscher just texted me. I'll be with him at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I need more than a massage after a go with him. That's for sure.
Talk about a man that just locks in.
No doubt.
Caleb Henson.
No
it's
doubt.
Surgical on the mat.
He's a special human being, you know, as surgical as he is on the mat. All the stuff behind the scenes is what's impressive about it. And there's a reason he's like that on the mat, because he does everything right off the mat. So, you know, he's able to go out there and put on a show and you know, do it in a fearless fashion, because he knows he's worked harder and more diligently than anybody else in the country. So just excited for him. He's a postseason guy. You know, a lot of these guys can, you know, in these dual meets, it's they're trying not to give up, you know, a lot of points. They're not looking to win. They're trying to stop the bleeding as much as possible, so they're not giving up team points against their team, right? So now it's the individual tournament start, and that's where they, you know, everybody has to go out. They're gonna try and wrestle to win. They're not worried about losing team points. They want to go out there, and that's typically where, you know, Caleb can really score a bunch of points. When a guy's coming at him and trying to win, that's when he can really open up. So it's been a difficult year for him in that aspect, because you're wrestling champ. You don't want to, you know, get embarrassed out there, and you're trying to keep it close. And, you know, that's difficult for a guy that wants to go out and, you know, bring the pace and typically wears the guy down and then gets to work. So I'm excited for him the next 3 weeks. This is where he typically, you know, rises to the competition.
Yeah, I was going to say most of the matches I saw him in this year, it seemed like the opponent kind of tried to shy away and not eat up, tried not to get tech fault or anything like that. They just wanted to lose the normal way.
Yeah, no, I get the strategy, man. That's the way it's got to be sometimes. And, you know, for Caleb to stay focused and diligent in his craft and find a way to get it done, you know, each and every time out there, you know, these regular seasons are long and strenuous, and he faced some pretty strong injuries, as the whole team did, and for him to come out unscathed through the regular season, it's pretty special. So I know he's been frustrated a little bit, but you know, it's something to hold your head high, and now it's time to really have some fun.
Yeah, more on the recruiting front, like, what are some of the biggest challenges with the way it is now, as far as like, oh, NIL is a major factor or a big factor in college sports as a whole. It's probably the hottest topic, sexiest thing to talk about. And then obviously the portal exists now as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know about what this NIL stuff to talk about, but yeah, it stinks to, you know, just to see some of these amazing coaches and just about every sport, you know, stepping away because it's not what they signed up for. It's a scary thing. You know, it's, you know, we got into this business to, you know, help these boys become men and you know, in the process, hopefully win a bunch of wrestling matches. But yeah, it's you know, you have to find the right type of kid and, you know, Tech is, we've done a good job of finding the gritty kids that, you know, bring a lot of effort and we do a lot of our due diligence as far as, you know, being around the kid, being around the family. You know, the longer the recruiting process goes, the better it is for us. Cause I think we have a really good synergy as a staff. You know, I think we stand for the right things. I think the culture of our team, shows that. So yeah, we're looking for the right type of kid. And yeah, you know, obviously the higher the star of the kid, you know, the 4 and 5 star guys that we're starting to, you know, look at now and be in the conversation with, you know, that's part of the conversation, the NIL stuff. And, you know, so that is part of it. And, you know, we're never going to be the big time programs as far as the financial side of things goes. But, you know, we're going to do our best and you know, we want to bring kids into the culture that fit the culture, not just because it fits the paycheck or whatever the case may be. So, Blacksburg's an awesome town, man. Every kid, regardless if they're the number one kid in the country or the, you know, the 100th kid in the country, they love Blacksburg and it sells itself and it's a great place to be. And, our guys sell it as well as anybody, because we have a great, great group of kids and, just excited for the future of the program. We got a huge class coming in. This 2025 class is going to be ridiculous. I'm watching a bunch of their results right now, kind of come through the rest of the state tournaments in New Jersey and, Pennsylvania right now. So, yeah, man, just super excited for the future of the program, the portal, another big thing. You know, it's something that, you know, we don't use to, you know, to fill our roster, but we'll plug a couple holes, with a couple guys. So, I think it's an awesome tool to use, something that we don't typically, like I said, we're not trying to build a roster with it, but, we do, there's a couple holes that we may, you know, lose a senior, or, and not have maybe a guy didn't pan out like maybe we thought behind him. So we need to find someone to plug in a hole. And with the two guys we did this year with F33 with McGonigal, and then with Lennox at 74, golly, they've done a great job so far. I think their best wrestling is still ahead of them. And that's pretty awesome when, you know, a guy like Connor's, you know, ranked seventh in the country or something like that. And he hasn't even come close to showing what he's about. So I'm excited for him for the next 3 weeks. Lennox Woolek is a postseason guy. He struggled a little bit this year, but man, we have nothing but belief in that kid, and I'm excited for him in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, 174 was going to be very, very hard to somebody to step in and replace. And the same with 157. We went from human highlight reel to human highlight reel. Like, it's just insane how Hippolyto has stepped in, and because Bryce was must watch, and this kid is also must watch. Like, the country doesn't quite know yet, but they're going to find out.
No doubt, no doubt. He's a kid that I get to work with every single day. Just a super humble kid. Someone that like, you know, he's been wrestling I think this is his sixth year of wrestling right now, which is to be, you know, a top 10 guy as a freshman, wrestling at a big time wrestling school, having, you know, being a sophomore at a big time college institution. And, you know, the kid is, he's special. He was raised the right way. He's surrounding himself with some great young men. And just fired up for Roth, man. Golly, he's a kid that the man, his ceiling is so high because he's just figuring it out. You know, not only the wrestling part of it, but, you know, just the IQ and the you know, even the language part, trying to decipher what we're talking about in practice. You know, his English is pretty good, but figuring out some things that we say that, you know, aren't typically what he hears in a jiu-jitsu gym. He has to decipher some things, and kudos to him because he's done an amazing job, and really excited for him. Like you said, the country is about to be on notice.
Yeah, has he gotten together with Davi Belfort at all?
Yeah, as funny as that is, Davi comes in the restroom quite a bit. We have a pretty strong relationship with a lot of the guys on the football team. There's a kid, a longtime family friend that I helped recruit a little bit from. He's a defensive back now. He's from Rice, so he's getting to know a lot of the wrestlers. And so him and Davi are, you know, they're going to church together. Our guys go to church with Davi, and Davi comes up and hits mitts with Caleb, and so we're pretty tight with the Belfours, and it's pretty cool. Hopefully, he gets a little playing time this year. So we got a big fan club. A bunch of football players actually coming up. They've been doing some wrestling up there, getting ready for the combine, which has been pretty fun. So
yeah,
that new linebacker, he's a what's his name? He was a stud wrestler too. He's up there a lot wrestling with Jimmy a little bit too. So pretty cool.
Has the big bad booty daddy been around at all? Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump.
No, man, we haven't. He's obviously been around. Roby knows. He spent some time in Michigan. He was with the Wolverines for 3 years back in the day, so he's got some type of relationship with them. But we haven't gotten him up there. We're gonna have to do that though. His son's doing pretty doggone good for Coach Young, and hopefully, you know, they get a good run going here in the next week or two.
Absolutely. And when I was talking about NIL, is there any way for people listening, if they want to donate specifically to Virginia Tech Wrestling name, image, and likeness, is there a way to do that?
Yeah, you know, the SCRTC helps with a lot of that. And, you know, I know I don't know all the ins and outs just yet, but you know, I know, you know, the foundation, you know, earmarked through wrestling, is able to, they're starting to do, you know, some matriculating through that as well. So, you know, the SCRTC is definitely the best way to help our guys, help our team as a whole, you know, whether it's travel, whether it's NIL, whether, you know, it allows us to do a lot with a little. So that's the best way. Southeast-RTC.com is the best way to get that going. And obviously you can email Coach Roby or myself, and we can point you in the right direction.
That's awesome. I hope people listening do that, because it's like, I brought somebody that had never been before, like they had knew nothing, to the NC State match. And by the end of it, man, they were just going crazy. And I was like, yeah, this is what this. He's like, I'm just yelling. I don't know why I'm yelling. I don't know what I'm yelling for. And I was like, well, that's what you got to do, man. You just got to figure it out. Eventually it'll click, or just talk to people around you and they'll fill you in. Like, I've been watching for several years now, and I see things that I think are a takedown and end up not being a takedown.
You and me both.
Sometimes I don't think the refs understand, but you know, I'm not here. Yeah, it's fine.
It's great, man. New blood is so great, and you know, it's addictive, no doubt. It's, you know, especially when we get those big time W's, and you know, our boys are like I said, they're unbelievable guys, and you know, when you see them walking around or downtown, or you know, they're always, you know, willing to help, and you know, that those lines for those poster signatures and that type of stuff are always through the roof. It's just been just blessed to be around a group of fans and supporters in Blacksburg that is really second to none. So it's been special and genuine, and man, this thing's just getting started.
No, that's a fact. When it comes to like when you're recruiting a kid and what you look for, and I'm like, does it vary via weight class? And also like, how do you decide, hey, what if we like this kid's wrestling at this in high school, but we see him maybe at this weight, or even guys that are in the room, like Sam's changed like twice. I feel like, how do you, is that like a collaboration between you and the wrestler? Or are you like, hey, this is the vision we see for you? Like,
yeah,
how do you talk about that?
It's a little bit of both, right? It's like, you know, you start recruiting these kids at 16 and half of them are, you know, won't be wrestling for you till they're 19. You know, we got a kid coming in next year who's, you know, he was 106 pounds 2 years ago, soaking wet. And now he's going to be, you know, he's already at least a 33 pounder, and he, you know, he's one of the best guys in the country. So, you know, same thing with Latona, right? He was a same 103 pounds soaking wet. And we thought he'd never be big enough to be a 25 pounder. Now he's wrestling 141 for us. So it is, it's a little bit of, you know, trying to look at their dads and their mom's dads, and, you know, trying to pigeonhole them for a weight class. And it's difficult, right? And, you know, you look up and down your roster, and it's not, okay, let's go get that. We do try and go get the best guy available, but, you know, we do have to pigeonhole, and we have to find a 25 pounder. 25 and heavyweight is like the hardest two guys to find, you know, because a lot of the heavyweights are playing football. You know, the 25 pounders, like I said, there'll be a 103 pounder, and now they're 140 pounds. So, you know, we got lucky with Eddie. Eddie's a little guy, so that's what we're trying to look for, the short kids that, you know, their mom and dads are short, and they're going to be as little as possible, because that's what you need. And but yeah, it's a lot of give and take, trying to figure out what holes you need, where you have to, you know, regardless of, you know, we need a guy in these three weight classes, this guy's going to, he's going to be in one of those three, that's for sure. So let's go after that guy. So yeah, it's a lot of that. And it's a lot of, you know, we're at the point where, you know, we go and try and find the best guy at every single weight class. And our name is in everybody's ear a little bit, you know. Virginia Tech's now, you know, if he's a top tier guy, Virginia Tech's going to be in the conversation. So, so that's the goal. The goal is to figure out how to get those guys on campus, whether it's for a camp or something before we can actually, you know, technically recruit them. And then, you know, once we have a chance to get them on campus, that's the goal. Once we get them on campus, we know we got a shot.
Yeah. And then like, obviously you got Jimmy who, I mean, we're like, is he going to play dual sport? Is it going to be football? And then you see him get on the mat, and you're like, this dude's a wrestler. Like, just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, and that was our biggest ploy, right? We had a really good shot at him wrestling-wise, but you know, he was getting recruited by Penn State and Michigan and, you know, some of the big-time programs. So we had to go outside the box, and that involved Coach Pry. That involved, you know, Coach Price, you know, really – you know, you find that kind of, all right, well, now I can walk on the football team and they're going to give me a shot at, you know, a real shot. Then, you know, now he sees, growing up, he always wanted to be a college football player. And, you know, he was getting some smaller division looks, you know, the Max and some of the service academies and that type of stuff, but not the big time schools. But, you know, for our guys to legitimately give him a look and to say, hey, man, we're going to give you a shot. So for him to actually come in, play spring ball, play the first year, you know, get a legitimate shot and have those conversations with some of our, you know, our big time coaches, that made the difference. And not only did he have a relationship with Coach Roby and I, he also had a relationship with, you know, Coach Pry, and to this day, those guys still, you know, still go to bat for him, which is pretty cool. And he's able to use some of the football, you know, recovery areas, and he knows all the football guys, and, you know, they're coming to the rest of the matches. And it's been an unbelievable experience. And Jimmy's one of our best recruiters. Just a great kid and someone that brightens every single room he steps into. So yeah, man, it's seeing those guys, and he's a guy that, you know, in this wrestling world, these kids are, you know, kind of going on a banter here, but in this wrestling world, so many of these kids, it's been wrestling since they were, you know, 5 years old. And there's really only so much tread on your tire to wrestle at a high level. And you see a lot of these guys kind of hit the wall in college. Jimmy's wrestled 4 months every single year, the 4 months after football season. So he is just a sponge right now. Now that he's decided to just go straight wrestling. I was just talking to him with him today, just like seeing his knowledge and his wrestling IQ through the roof. That dude's going to be on top of the podium in the next 3 years, whether it's this year or 3 years down the road. He's a super fun kid, and he's extremely athletic, and his wrestling and his will to win is through the roof.
Absolutely. Speaking of journeys to get to Blacksburg real quick, how did you end up at Virginia Tech?
good question. So I'd gotten out of wrestling. I was the associate head coach at Oklahoma, back to my alma mater. It was like my fourth stop in college coaching, going back to Oklahoma. Thought that's where I'd be for the rest of my career. Things didn't align great with the head coach, and I needed to get out of the sport. Moved back to Tampa with my family. For 3 years, I had a really good kids club. I was selling spine implants for Stryker, and things were good, man. I was living on the water. Life was good. I didn't hate it. There was always some talk. I had a couple kids in my kids club. Coaches had come down to my kids club to find these kids. And anyhow, I wasn't looking to get back into college coaching. I was in the OR till like midnight one night, and I had a voicemail, and it was from Tony Roby. Roby and Dresser tried to get me years and years ago. And, you know, so that was the only conversation I'd ever had with Tony. And, I had this voicemail. I remember where I was driving home, and I was just like, well, I better bring it up to my wife, and because she had actually said something. Well, there's something coming. I don't know what it is, but there's something coming, and this is what was coming. And so we took the recruiting trip up here, and man, we just fell in love with my wife, fell in love with Jen, and the coaching style that Tony was talking about bringing, and that was my first time to Blacksburg, and I knew this is where I was going to be. So we've been here 8 years now.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a ride. I mean, we're perennial top 10 every year. And you mentioned earlier, it's really just an organic effort. It's not like, you know, there's a bunch of funds or, you know, all that
right
laying around. Like, it's really just I mean, we do get the cool moments, like the recruiting pictures where, you know, you had Roby and the Ferrari, like, you know, like all that stuff is cool. And like, you're like, I feel like we have a pretty decent social media presence.
We have a great
presence. The writers love us. Robbie out of Charlottesville. He's yep. great.
Yep.
Yeah. He, I like that guy a lot.
Blacksburg is awesome, man. And it's, you know, the hashtag this is home is so ridiculous. Like, it's, you have to feel it. You know, I love raising my daughters here. My wife loves it here. You know, we're trying to change this into like a golf cart community. We bought a golf cart a couple years ago. We're driving it everywhere. I drive it to work almost every day when it's nice out. But it's just, you know, it's a place that, you know, everyone, you know, having that facility where every single coach is running into each other, every single student athlete is running into each other, where they're eating together. I mean, it's just seriously a family. And it just makes things, it just feels right. And you don't know until you know. And that's why, you know, we just love getting people here, and, you know, whether it's fans or it's recruits or it's, you know, just supporters of the program that have no idea what wrestling's about. It's fun to have them around our guys, around our support staff, and just the amazing things that occur in Castle Coliseum, whether it's, you know, basketball, you know, football, wrestling, whatever the case may be. Virginia Tech is a special organization.
No, absolutely. And to attest to that, this girl that works for me, her son, he wrestles in Manassas, and he started like 2 years ago. He's a freshman in high school now, but he absolutely loves the sport. Like, he got the cauliflower ear. She made him get the surgery, and he was pissed. He was like, this was my rite of passage or whatever. But he went to your camp last summer.
Gotcha.
And he felt like he just loved, like, he already signed up. Or right. Like, he's ready to come back. Like,
right.
I was like, I'm gonna tell Ethan to work the hell out of him. Like, but
buddy.
Yeah. And then just, yeah. Ethan was the first one I met, and then became friends with him. And then he brought Sam on here. And then I had Brewer, who was awesome. And now he's doing his thing elsewhere. But then Andy Smith, who's such a good kid. Like, I feel offended when he loses. Like, I'm like, I want that kid to win at everything, but it's just everyone there is just impressive. Like, just a genuine person.
Well, we appreciate it. This is a special thing. And, you know, I think, yeah, just to get back to our guys, man, we got everybody healthy and finally, you know, everybody rolling the same way and, just looking, you know, super forward to Sunday in Durham. It's going to be a special tournament for us. And just excited for our boys to let it fly.
Yeah, I'm excited. Eddie, obviously last year, I think he was banged up.
Yep.
And Coop filled in, and then Eddie came roaring back. And then this year, he's just been ridiculous. Like, he's a machine. So I'm excited about every weight class.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that. Up and down the, you know, dudes that have been injured. They're, you know, finally fighting and feeling good and you know, the Eddie situation and you know, seeing Raph just let it fly and, you know, all the way up and down to Andy Smith is a special story. And man, I think it's time to let TJ Stewart do his thing. So I'm excited for him to get back on the track. So yeah, up and down the line of Sam Latona, freaking stud, going out on his kind of swan song. And
yeah,
he's gonna have his best postseason yet. So special time of year for us.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, ACC's, and is that Duke?
That's a Duke, yes, sir. And then
Nationals are in Philly.
Yes, sir.
Man, let's bring home some. Let's get that trophy case filled up.
That's the plan, man. That's the plan. The boys are ready, and coaches are ready. We got to. Tonelli's up in New Jersey watching a couple recruits up there, and then he'll fly down to Durham, and Roby's headed to PA early tomorrow morning. So, you know, we're still searching, but our boys are ready to rock, man. We'll be on the bus at you know, noon on Saturday heading down there.
Ready to rock. Yeah, I'm excited, man. Well, Coach Fryer, dude, also congratulations on the Florida Hall of Fame, Wrestling Hall of Fame, by the way, 2023 inductee.
Yes, sir.
That's crazy. That's awesome. And as all, like, thanks for taking the time to come on here. This is the first interview. I've done over 100 interviews, and normally every offseason I do like 32, but this is my first one this year.
You're working too hard.
Hey, man, this is my first one this offseason, and I'm glad it was you. It's always great seeing you and Roby down on the sideline getting active, and always great to see you on social media. When you throw up the emojis, we know that a stud is coming to Virginia Tech.
I'll pour those up soon.
Hey, we like to hear that. And yeah, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy to come on here and spend like an hour or so with me and talk to the people and spread the gospel that is Virginia Tech Hokies wrestling.
Heck yeah, brother. Heck yeah. Well, I appreciate the Terror Dome, and man, you guys are awesome, and the support is felt. So thank you.
Absolutely, man. And as always, go Hokies.
Go Hokies.